182 at the bottom, page Nun on top. We didn't learn too much last time because we were discussing this whole concept of creation. 182. We're not inside, outside. Okay, we're 12 lines to the bottom. Last thing the Alter Rebbe says like this: the primary purpose of mitzvahs is to elevate the world. Therefore, mitzvahs need to be done in the gashmistical world with the physical objects. If you don't do a physical mitzvah, then you're really not bringing godliness into the physical world. By the way, it says that even those mitzvahs that deal with the heart, like emunas Hashem and achdus Hashem and love of Hashem and belief in Hashem and all that, it still affects the physical heart. You're not doing it with a physical object, but you're doing it with your physical heart, which is also physical. Or if you're learning, you're doing it with your physical brain, your physical mouth, or whatever it is. He says, nevertheless, even though the primary thing is to have Torah mitzvahs in the gashmistical world, nevertheless, the Gemara says that if you don't have kavana, if you don't have intent, it's like a body without a soul. And Alter Rebbe started explaining that everything in the world has a soul. Remember, we discussed this at great length last week. Hashem made something from nothing, so there's the continuous power in creation. That power of Hashem that keeps the world in existence, that is called the neshama, the soul, or the nefesh, of every physical object that exists in the world. And he says, even stones and dirt in every inanimate object has this soul, which is the Arizal writes, the power of Hashem, keeping it in existence. So he says now like this, there's no connection or similarity in comparison the life, to compare the life that's in the body, compared, there's no comparison between the soul of the body and the soul of the neshama. She nefesh kochai, meaning as follows. Granted, physical objects have a soul, inanimate objects have a soul, but a plant, animal, and definitely a human, has a higher soul. And remember last week we also learned that the body itself has its own lifeline, his own soul, in addition to the neshama. Because remember, when a person passes away, the body doesn't immediately disappear. Because the body has its own soul, which is the body soul, but he says that body soul that keeps the body existing is nothing compared to the neshama. That's an infinitely greater revelation of godliness.
So animals also have a body soul, and stones have a body soul also?
Yeah. That's what we learned last week, no?
Yeah, but the stone has a soul, or it has a soul and a body soul?
No. A stone has a soul.
But an animal and a human being has a soul and a body soul.
Correct.
No, an animal does not have a soul.
No. It doesn't have a neshama.
Does not.
What's the difference between a live animal and a dead one? There's a difference between a live animal and a dead animal. The soul of the animal, whatever that is, it's not a part of Hashem, it's not chelak l'kamimal, but there's still a soul that keeps the animal alive. Now, when that soul leaves the animal, the body doesn't disintegrate instantaneously.
My question is that this animal have a body soul and a soul like a human
being? Yes. Yeah, not the same type like a human being. But yes. Yeah.
Does it,
yeah? Yeah. And you can have the same thing with a plant to a certain extent. A plant, you can have a dead plant. The plant dies. Okay, you have a living plant. Right? The difference between a living plant and a dead plant, again, is it's not human life, but there's a certain level of life that a plant has that a dead plant doesn't have. Right? There's still a difference in the life of a dead plant. Yet, when the plant dies, again, it doesn't disappear. That means there's still a power of Hashem in the leaf or the plant or whatever it is, keeping it in existence even though its growing soul left. Plants are called living, animals are called living, and most people are called living. But stones, inanimate objects, are not called living. The chiddush of the Arizal is that even the inanimate has a soul. What is the soul that keeps it existing? So he says, even though this has a soul, there's no difference. And he says, even though both of them have this revelation, which is hested upon him, which is a concealment of God, ulavushim shavim, and equal garments, shahar mistated umisalim umislabish bay, that the light of the soul conceals itself, hides itself, and dresses itself into it. I'll explain it then. Let me read it and I'll explain it. Chishneim emeilim azeh, because both the body and the soul comes from this, in this world. Which basically, this world is a concealment of godliness. In Hester Panim, Vyadidus and Madregas. Okay. Back to Chassidus 101. Hashem is everything, and everything is Hashem. Correct? If everything is Hashem, why is there a difference between a table and a chair and a plant and an animal and a person and a rug? If everything is God, then everything should be the same. Hashem is everywhere. Everything is Hashem. Hashem is everything. So why is there a difference between 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? Huh? Now that I'm saying, it's different levels of how much godliness is revealed in it. In other words, Hashem is all over. Okay? The only difference is Hashem conceals himself in a way that we don't see him. For a few reasons. Number one, if Hashem would reveal himself as is, everything would be infinite. If infinite reveals itself as he is, as it is, then everything would be infinite. Secondly, the whole purpose of creation, we learned, is for a game called hide and go seek. The whole reason why Hashem made the world, by the way, the universe, where Hashem made Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, Nasiya, meaning the physical realm and the spiritual realm of the entire existence of world, is because Hashem wanted, Hashem, as Alter Rebbe says, a fatayva frekmishkin kashis, and a why, and a temptation, you can't ask why, but Hashem wanted a certain enjoyment. What is the enjoyment? That Hashem hides, and we find him. Okay? In other words, like when you play with little kids, hide and go seek. Okay? So the parent hides, and the kid finds him, and it becomes a big simcha. Okay? Question, why bother hiding and then let the kid find him? Just stay there. Because that's no fun. The fun is when you're hidden, and then you're found, so that causes a great game. If Hashem would reveal himself and we would find Hashem, what's the big deal? So what does Hashem do? Hashem hides himself and now he says to us, go find me. How does Hashem hide himself? And this is not for now, but this is Shayyuchat V'amunah. The problem with Hashem hiding himself, there's a massive dilemma with that. Because I can hide behind a curtain. You can't hide behind yourself. If everything is Hashem, then even the concealment that Hashem hides himself with is Hashem also. And you can't hide yourself with yourself. Meaning, according to halacha, a man needs to cover their head. Cover their head, right? Especially when he makes a bracha. If a man will take his own hand and put it on top of his head, he cannot make a bracha. If somebody else takes their hand and covers his head, not the person's, of somebody else's head, it's a good covering. So halacha says, why can't you put your own hand on your own head for a bracha? Because there's a rule in Hebrew, it's called ein etzem mastir al etzem. You can't cover yourself with yourself. It's like when kids go and put their hands in front of their eyes and say, you can't see me, it's ridiculous because their hand is also me. You could say you can't see my eye, but you can't say you can't see me because the hand is also me. So by Hashem, there's an issue with that, and it's not for now. How could Hashem hide from us if there's nothing that's not Hashem? So he's hiding himself with himself. But the bottom line is, he doesn't. Okay? Now, what is the difference between, let's say, Atzilus and Bria and Yetzira and Asiya, the four spiritual worlds? Why is Atzilus higher and Bria is lower and Yetzira is lower and Asiya lower? It doesn't mean Hashem is changing. Hashem is in all of them equally. What's going on? Hashem says, here I'm covered a little bit, here I'm covered more, 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 to such an extent, you can cover the bulb, and cover it with 20 covers, you don't even notice the bulb there. But for whom is the concealment there? For us looking at the bulb. For the bulb itself, there is no concealment. If you hide behind the curtain, you're not hidden from yourself. You're only hidden from somebody else or from something else. But if you're hidden, you yourself are not hidden. Hashem hides himself with himself. So in the higher worlds, he limits himself a little bit. In the lower worlds, more, more, more. Until it comes to this world, Hashem is so hidden, it gets to a point you don't even know there's a light there. You don't even know that Hashem exists. Therefore, you can have an atheist, you can have a agnostic, and you can have a person who says, God forbid, there's no God. But if Hashem is here, why? Because he's so hidden, you don't even know that he exists. You can cover the light with so much covering that you don't even know there's light there. So he says, even though there's a concealment of what causes the neshama, because the neshama is in the body, it's also concealed, or the body's neshama that keeps it existent, there's still a big difference between them, even though they're both hidden. But this is a much greater level of concealment than the neshama, which is a much lesser level of concealment. And what's more concealed and more covered from Hashem is called lower. What's less concealed from Hashem is called higher. But by Hashem, there's no difference whether he has one blanket on him or 100 blankets over him, a million blankets over him. He is the same all over. So the Alter Rebbe is explaining that everything has a soul, but there's a big difference between this soul and that soul, even though it's all in this world and it's all concealment. But the question is, how much concealment is there? How much is it covered? How much is it blocked? How much lower does Hashem want it to be able to find him? And that's what Hashem really wants. So Hashem hid himself that we should find him. How do we find Hashem? It's very interesting and very simple. When you take a physical object where God is by nature concealed, and you do a mitzvah with it, and you make it holy, what's the definition of holiness? A place where God is revealed. So basically, what does the Jew do by doing Torah mitzvahs? They reveal the godliness that he hid. Hashem hid himself, and through a mitzvah you reveal him. And that's the game that Hashem wants. But for this we come down and...
What is the revelation? The object says the same. Godliness does not...
When a sefer falls on the floor, you pick it up and kiss it?
Yes.
And when a pen falls on the floor, you pick it up and kiss it?
No, it doesn't matter. But it still sefer looks like a sefer, the pen looks like a pen. You don't see godliness in the sefer.
That is because, nothing personal, that's because you and I and people are blind. Tzaddikim can look and see. When Mashiach comes, will be the Nigla Kved Hashem. Mashiach comes, the revelation of Hashem will be all over the place. We're going to then see the godliness that we revealed in the world during the time of Golos.
We don't say it now, then we're not supposed to be seeing it. We know that we bring godliness down every time we do a mitzvah, right?
If somebody makes a trust fund for you in the bank, yeah, that's not touchable until a certain period of time, yeah. But every time you do something, they put more money in the trust fund. Do you see the money? No. Can you use the money now? No. But the money is there. Siddhi Gerva has an expression in Maim, it's munach bekufsa. It's put in the box. It's in the box. Okay? It's there. You do a mitzvah, you're getting more things in the box. Because Hashem doesn't want us to see Him yet, until Mashiach comes, so then we're going to see what we did through the duration of Golos. And that's the reason, by the way, why this Golos is 2,000 years and going strong, like they say, right? It's the longest Golos that ever existed. Why? Because only through darkness can you reveal a revelation which is greater than the revelation that comes through light. So because Mashiach is such an unbelievable, infinite, essential revelation of the essence of Hashem, so the work has to be a greater challenge and a greater Aveda, because the accomplishment is much greater. And that's why Hashem made Golos. And that's the positive side of Golos. The positive side of Golos is that we can reach a level that we can otherwise not reach.
While we're in Golos or
only while we're in Golos.
We can reach our level now?
Yeah, because once Mashiach comes, it ain't happening. Avedas are not going to be worth anything.
So what is that level reaching?
Huh? When, now?
Yeah.
The essence of Hashem?
By doing a mitzvah.
Yep. What does mitzvah mean? Binding, connection. Tshuva ma'isin tevin beilu mazeh is better than all kol chaylam abba. Why? Because in this world, you connect to the essence of Hashem every time you do a mitzvah. And the darker it is, the more challenging it is, the harder it is, the more you're connecting to the essence of Hashem.
Oh, so we should be thankful that it's so hard right now.
Correct.
Yes, then you're so thankful.
We were learning last night by the class, by the Monday Night Chumash class, we were learning also about, we're in the middle of the Teichecha, about the curses, and is good, is it bad, is it good, you know, all the thing, what's good of it. So, we brought up, so to speak, that surgery is good or bad?
Good.
You learned already what to say. Surgery is good or bad?
You have no choice. It's good.
Surgery is good or bad? Answer the question.
Good.
If somebody says to you, you need surgery, you're going to be dancing for joy?
No, but I'm going to be grateful that they found what needs to be.
Is surgery good or bad?
Everything Hashem does is good. Well, if you need
bad,
surgery,
technically,
you must have something bad.
You learn how to answer like a
what? You must have something bad going on if you need surgery.
Oh, yeah. Like to myself. I'm asking a very simple question, one word answer.
Bad. No joy is bad.
So why, when you finish surgery, do you tell the doctor thank you?
What's that to do?
If you're a mensch, you tell the doctor thank you. After recovery, okay. After recovery, what do you tell the doctor?
You usually say thank you.
Why?
Because he's going to save your life by doing the surgery. Because you get to live on.
Okay, so now, is surgery good or bad?
Surgery itself is good. Surgery is good.
Do you say thank you for the results, or do you say thank you for doing the surgery?
No, for the results.
That's not, by the way, according to Chassidus, you're all wrong. Nothing personal. The Rebbe explains in last week's Parsha, Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha means go. Okay? Right after it says, Vayeded Avram, we spoke about this on Shabbos. Vayeded Avram Mitzrayma, Avram went down. How can you have vayeded in the lech lecha? Lech lecha means going up. How do you have vayeded going down? And the Rebbe learned, it's not, Chassidus explained, by the way, it's not only that the Yerida is for Aliyah, the Yerida itself is Aliyah. Well, you look at me like that. You have a physical analogy of this in day-to-day living. You bought a lot with a house on it. Okay? Yeah? And you're knocking down the house to put up. You're doing it. You bought a tear down and you're putting up a big, beautiful house, right? While the bulldozers are bulldozing the house. Yeah? And you ask them, what are you doing? They will tell you, we're building a house. Correct? Mm-hmm. Ask somebody, what are you doing here? I'm building a house. To go, what are you building a house? You're bulldozing the house to shreds. The answer is, because the knocking down of the house is for the sake of building the house. So therefore, not only is the knocking down for the sake of building, it's part of the building. It's a part of the construction, is knocking down the house. So even the, by the way, according to Halacha, Shabbos, if you knock down a building with the intent of building, you're chayef for knocking down. Even though anything you do destructive on Shabbos is only rabbinically forbidden, not biblically forbidden, but the fact that you're destroying for the sake of building, the destruction is a part of the building. And that's where Rabbi Kiva, when he saw the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, laughed, the Gemara says, and when he saw the fox rolling out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he laughed, because Rabbi Kiva saw that this is part of the construction. So surgery is a part of the healing. Now, if somebody asks you, do you just want your house knocked down? The bulldozer rings your bell while you're in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Yeah, like you said. The guy rings the bell, middle of Shemoneh Esrei, we're here to bulldoze your house. Of course you're not going to be happy. That if the purpose is only the bulldozing for the sake of bulldozing. Right? But if somebody comes to you and says, hey, guess what? We're going to bulldoze your house now because we're putting up a bigger house for you. You'd say, please. Why? Because the descent is actually, Chassidus explains, a part of the construction and a part of the elevation. And by Hashem, even the punishments that Hashem punishes in the Teichach, or whatever it may be, all the curses and everything else, the truth is, this is all a cleansing process. There is no punishment in Torah for punishment. There is no such thing in Yiddishkeit as difficulties for the sake of difficulties. Challenges for the sake of challenges is anti-Jewish and anti-everything that Hashem wants. The challenges are part of the elevation. The darkness is part of the light. Everything, the Yerida, the descent, is part, not only for elevation. Chassidus explains in all over the Rebbe's Sichas, and the Rebbe is the one that really emphasized this more than all the other Rebbeim, that in descent is not only for the sake of elevation, descent is a part of the elevation. Knocking down the building is a part of the construction. It's not only you're knocking down in order to build. According to Halacha, destroying for the sake of building, the destruction is called constructive, and that's why you're obligated on Shabbos if you did it. But
for so long,
the building is going to be so massive. Yeah. They're digging very deep down, you know? They're digging very deep down because the building is going to be really, really high.
And yet we still daven, it should be fast, and we still daven, it should end, and still daven. This is so wonderful, so why we are davening? This is not really an ideal situation.
We learned in Perek Chavav of Tanya that the Rebbe says the good that comes down in the level of bad is not only bad, it's such a high level of good. It's so good, it can't come down in the level of good, it has to come down in the level of bad, right? Correct? So then what should we daven? That we should suffer? Because suffering is a higher form of good? No. But what are we davening? Hashem is so omnipotent and so great and so powerful. What we're asking Hashem is, God, you are so great and you're so limitless that you can give us the ultimate level of good in a good way. That's what we daven for. In other words, when it comes down to good in a way of bad, it's a higher level than good. But what are we davening for? Hashem, do me a favor. You're so great. Give me the higher level of good through open good. But when a person is going to surgery, and this is a good analogy because it's very tangible for us. Okay? When a person is going to surgery, and yes, it's painful and it hurts and it's dangerous and who knows what's going to be, right? But a person has to realize that this surgery is going to make them better. So instead of yelling and screaming, why am I doing the surgery? Why am I doing the surgery? I don't want it, I don't want it, I don't want it. That's very childish. A mature person understands that this surgery is for the sake of becoming healthier. And therefore challenges evil that we think is evil. All these things that happen to us, so this explains, is really for the sake of good.
What happens with the concentration thing for this?
You're asking questions that only God can know and answer, and there is no answer to the question. And the Rebbe said, there is no answer to the Holocaust. All the answers people give, they got the state of Israel because of that, it's all bubblemices. The Rebbe said that there is no answer to the Holocaust, and a Jew has an obligation to scream at Hashem, why not, God forbid, to hinder Torah mitzvahs because of it? Because obviously a human being has to understand, we can't understand what God does, because if we would understand God, we would be God. But as we mentioned many, many times in these classes, if somebody would ask you a question, if you would be God, would you run the world differently? So the initial response of an intelligent person would be 100%. If I would be God, there would be no poverty, and there would be no illness, and there would be no concentration camps, and there would be no mass murders, and there wouldn't be Osama bin Laden, and right? Whoever says that, or for that matter, whoever thinks it, is a total apikritis. Not a 50% apikritis. Not 99% apikritis. Whoever thinks that way, thinks even, is 100% apikritis. Why? Because if you believe God is God, He does things the best possible way. Just because we don't understand it, doesn't mean God shouldn't do what He does. If a native from Africa, who knows nothing about medicine, sees a doctor doing surgery, and he thinks to his mind, this guy's a murderer, because he knows nothing about medicine, so therefore the doctor shouldn't do surgery because this guy thinks he's a murderer. The doctor would be a moron if he wouldn't do surgery because this guy thinks you're a murderer. The doctor knows what's right. He does it because he knows what he has to do. Hashem does what he has to do. We think it's terrible. That's our problem. It's not God's problem. God's going to do what He wants anyway. Because whatever He does is the only ultimate way.